Our scripture for this morning is 2 Peter, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. This is the word of God for us.
Good morning. Welcome. It is a joy to be together this morning. Thinking back on last weekend, which was Easter weekend, we had a fantastic time together. I was told by our team that takes attendance that we had 460 people in attendance at our resurrection service. To put that in context, we have 420 chairs set up in this place. And so we were packed and overflowing, and it's a joy to see that the Lord is adding to our number, that we are growing. We want to be intentional and strategic about enfolding and assimilating and welcoming guests with us, and as we see our church growing, I want to say thank you for your warmth, for your welcoming, for doing little things like inviting people to join you in the Sunday school hour in your core group. So thank you for doing that, and keep that up as the Lord continues to add to our number. One other housekeeping item to mention, and that is regarding Children's Church. And so I'll just remind us of the schedule for Children's Church, which is the first three Sundays of each month during September through April. And so what that means is we are now on our summer schedule, which means there will not be Children's Church for these months. We will have services for all ages right here in this place. And please know, families with young children, that your kids are always welcome in the sanctuary. Any Sunday, the duration of the service, we are glad to have little ones here. I love seeing and hearing little ones. Our church family is so gracious. This is not a church that looks over and gives a dirty look to a baby who's starting to fuss a little bit. So we welcome little ones here. Moms and dads know if a baby's getting too loud to take them out. Having said all of that, I do want you to be aware of, during the sermon, so starting at 9:30 in our toddler nursery area, we do have a staffed nursery available each Sunday, including today. So I think Amy and Bree are probably back there right now, cheerfully serving. So please know that on any given Sunday at about 9:30 during the sermon portion of our worship service, you are welcome to drop your little ones off there at the toddler nursery location. We have volunteers there who are glad to serve you in that way. So I just wanted to be clear about that. In the coming weeks, we probably won't take time in every service to remind us there's no children's church today. So I wanted to kind of start that at the beginning of this season, that we're in the summer schedule, so there won't be children's church again for a while until we kind of kick that back off in the fall. So, for this morning, we're going to resume our study in the book of 2 Peter, this epistle written by the apostle by that name. And it's a book that's encouraging us to grow in Christ, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. So this is not just a book, this is not just a sermon series for baby Christians, for immature Christians, for spiritual infants. It is a book encouraging us to grow in Christ, whether we are spiritual giants who have read the Bible cover to cover, or we're spiritual infants who are just getting started, who are just learning about a life of prayer and following Jesus and doing devotions. And so this is an encouragement for all people, the young and the not so young. The ones who have followed Jesus decade over decade, and the ones who are just coming to faith and relationship with Jesus. And so, as we talk about spiritual growth, one of the hallmarks of spiritual growth, again, really throughout our spiritual journey, one of the hallmarks is something called spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment, the ability to distinguish right from wrong, good from evil, truth from lie. And so in chapter 2, which is where we're studying this morning in the book of 2 Peter, this is what Peter is writing about. He's warning us about false teachers. People who have a platform, who have a voice, who have a certain amount of influence, and they use that to promote ideas that are not of God. So, when someone is teaching things that are wrong, that relate especially to key spiritual doctrines, like the person of Jesus, like how one might be saved, like what does a godly, God-honoring life look like? When a person is teaching these things incorrectly and wrongly, let's just say it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And so we have a great warning this morning about that from the scripture. And really, what you see when you consider false teachers is most of the time it is a distortion. It is taking things that are true and twisting them, perverting them, adjusting them just enough so they sound appealing. They may seem like they are true. They're mixing in untruths, or we might even say half-truths, with the truth of Scripture. And so that's the difficulty, is this is a warning for those who are within the church, within the household of God, saying there are those among you who are doing this. So this is not the enemy. This is not the outside. This is not the Antichrist. This is people who have made their way into the body of Christ, but who are mixing in things that are heretical or untrue. And so what I want to do this morning is open our Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 2. This is where Phil read for us a few moments ago. We spent a few weeks studying chapter 1 together, and I'll just remind you, we did a break for last weekend, but I'll just remind you then, at the end of chapter 1, Peter says, well, remember we did that study 2 weeks ago, and it was the prophecies about the Messiah. We had a supplemental resource for you of 300 and some prophecies about the Lord Jesus. And so, at the end of chapter 1, Peter reminds us about these beautiful prophecies in the Old Testament, and he says these prophets did not speak on their own, but they spoke the words of God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so with that, he goes right into chapter 2. The prophets of old, they were empowered by God, speaking his truth, carried along by the Holy Spirit. And then we'll see, just as there were false prophets back then, he says there are still those today here in the early church. So starting in verse 1, he says, but there were also false prophets among the people. So again, he's talking about in the Old Testament, when the Old Testament prophets were prophesying the truth of God, there were also false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you. He says, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Please notice the emphasis in these first couple of verses on destruction. They will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, speaking of the Lord Jesus, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Verse 2, many will follow their depraved conduct and bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. We could simplify it just to say they cause destruction and they will receive destruction. In the next few verses, and I'll just sort of paraphrase, summarize them, verses 4 through 9, Peter really just makes this case for these individuals, again, false teachers is what he calls them, they will be punished severely. So this theme of destruction. They bring destruction through their heresies, but they themselves will receive just what they've sown in God's judgment. And so he mentions God's judgment upon fallen angels, depending on which English translation you read, or maybe there's a footnote. I know in the NIV we've got a footnote there that says these fallen angels will be thrown into Tartarus, which is like the deepest dungeon, imprisoned part of hell. He says the entire world was condemned, with the exception of Noah and his family, during the worldwide flood that occurred. He talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and how they were burned to ashes because of their wickedness, because they were ungodly, because they were depraved. And so what he's saying here is certainly destruction is coming to those who proclaim a false gospel, because destruction is what happens to the ungodly, to those who promote sensuality, worldliness, and more. Now, fortunately, Peter gives us a glimpse at what these people look like. So I want to key in on verse 10. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, they follow the corrupt desire of the flesh. They despise authority. Now, let's do a quick word study here. Kyriates is the word used for authority here. You may be familiar with kyrios, the Greek word for Lord. What he's saying here is they reject lordship. So certainly authority, earthly authority, but even more so spiritual authority. Like, these are the kinds of people who they want to have lordship over their own lives. They're not going to give that to Christ. They're not going to submit to one another as we are called to do in the New Testament. And he says there, verse 10, they are bold and arrogant. So what will become of these? Again, no surprises here. Destruction. Punishment. So let's look together at verses 13 and 14. He says very clearly, very plainly, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they've done. Again, little bit of a play on words here. They cause destruction, they'll reap destruction. They've caused harm, guess what they're going to get? Harm. He says, their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, an accursed brood. And again, this is a heavy word of judgment. And this should serve as a warning and as a stark reminder to us about the fidelity of the gospel and about this discernment. Again, he encourages us, it's time for us to grow in Christ. It's time to grow spiritually. Part of what that means is growing in our discernment, our ability to rightly determine, distinguish good from evil, right from wrong. Now, you may notice that in this chapter, greed is mentioned multiple times. So as he talks about what are these false teachers like, what are they about, what do you see when you look at their lives? Greed. In fact, he says in this passage, they're like Balaam in the Old Testament. Maybe you know his story from Numbers 22, 23, 24. He was one that was so spiritually blind that God used a donkey to correct him. And he actually conversed with the donkey. You know, he just responded in kind. He was a prophet for hire, and I think that's the point Peter is getting at here. This was a guy who had no allegiance other than to whoever was paying the top dollar. That was Balaam, and he likens these false teachers to Balaam. No allegiance other than the almighty dollar, greed. And unfortunately, true to verse 2 that we read a few moments ago, there are still money-grubbing prosperity preachers who bring the way of truth into disrepute. In other words, they give a bad name to the kingdom and to Christ. In fact, there's a viral video recently about, it's one of these types, and he's sort of exposed because he's doing a live video. So he's on live, and he is giving this sort of quasi-defense for his multi-million dollar lifestyle. This is a person who has a ministry and, you know, purports to proclaim the gospel, and yet he finds himself, he's on his live stream, and he is like justifying all of his luxury, and he brings a Bible verse that he shares that he thinks is gonna sort of like vindicate him. This is gonna justify him. Now, he makes a mistake, because he calls on his wife, who is seated next to him, And he says, read that in the Amplified version. And you can almost see it in her face when she's called on to read the same verse in the Amplified version that's about to sort of expose the reality. She realizes, like this isn't what he's going for, but check this out. I think we have illustrated here actually several things that are helpful, like, and even several things that are warned about in 2 Peter chapter 2. Greedy, bold, arrogant, despising authority, taking scripture out of context. And so, in fact, here's what I want to do. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 49. Right? Again, we have all ages with us in the service this morning. We've got third graders, fourth graders with us today. You open your Bibles as well, Psalm 49. And I will just go ahead and tell you that in context, this is a psalm that is about how you should not trust in wealth. Let's go to verse 16. This is where the gentleman began, or pulled his verse. So, and this is the NIV. Here's what it says. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not, what does the next word say? Okay, a little bit of a clue there, isn't it? Descend? When I think about the afterlife and where I'm going, I don't think descend, I think ascend, okay? So it will not descend with them. And then let's just keep going here. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed. Didn't we hear that? They count themselves blessed. And people praise you when you prosper. They will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. And verse 20, people who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. So what we've just done there in 2 minutes or less is we've read Psalm 49, we've been encouraged by it, and we've rightly understood that it's a warning about you don't take it with you when you go. So don't depend on it. Trust in the Lord. That's a right understanding and right application versus what we saw unravel on the live stream. In fact, I'll share, I got an email this spring, last month, and it was from a person that I didn't know, but he had some initials behind his name, and he wrote to me as a local pastor, and it said it was to encourage me and to share some biblical insight. Okay, I'm in. So I begin reading through the body of the email. It began by saying, we don't often understand the Holy Spirit. I wanted to share scriptures helping us to more rightly do so, to shed some light. Again, I'm in. But then it said, the Holy Spirit is really just the ghost of Moses who possessed or inhabited certain people like John the Baptist and Jesus, and I'm out. No thanks, not interested, not going to work for me. So here's what I want to do with the rest of our time together in the spirit of for all ages, for each person, no matter where we're at in our spiritual journey, is share the ABCs of spiritual discernment. The ABCs of spiritual discernment. If we want to stand strong, which we do, we don't want to get tricked. We don't want to be misinformed. We don't want to be exploited, as 2 Peter warns us about. We certainly don't want to be led astray. And it begins with, apply God's word. That's the A of the ABCs of spiritual discernment. Applying God's word. The truth is revealed in the scriptures. The plain truth. The simple truth. The beauty and the power of the scriptures and the gospel message. And so we identify false teaching through regular, consistent, biblical application. In fact, the book of Hebrews speaks about this. I want to share a couple verses from there, end of chapter 5 into verse 6, where we have this. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Again, here's an encouragement. It's time for us to grow up spiritually. It's time for us to grow in the Lord. You need milk, not solid food. There's actually a bit of a rebuke, isn't it? It says in verse 13, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And then the encouragement in verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. But what jumps out to me from that is constant use. The application, the A in our ABCs of spiritual discernment, applying God's word. You have to be in the word. And I know, without even asking you this morning, that some of you here today say, I'm not really in the Bible as much as I intended. I've gotten busy. And in fact, maybe this morning, as we study God's word, you're saying, I'm going to start a reading plan. I'm going to get into the word of God. This is so important. I'm going to get into the word of God, and I'm going to start it tomorrow. I say, okay, good, you're close. One small clarification, one small adjustment. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it today. Do it today. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. It's a day to draw near to him. And so I would implore you, I would urge you and encourage you to not go home and say, well, I was in the word because we did a Sunday school lesson and a sermon today, but to take that time for yourself today to sit at the feet of Christ, to meditate on his word. So yes, get into the scriptures. Do it today. And I have a feeling that then tomorrow you'll do the same. And I would encourage you with that as well. Applying God's word. You know, that's exactly what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. In fact, that might be a great place for you to read today if you spend some time in the word. Read Matthew chapter 4. Read this exchange where you've got Satan and Jesus, and Satan is tempting Jesus. And do you know what Satan is using to tempt Jesus? The Bible! And not once, not twice, but three times, Jesus rebuts, replies with Scripture. Is it not written, Jesus says, over and over and over. He's applying the word of God. I've read that federal agents don't learn to spot counterfeit money by studying counterfeits. Instead, they spend their time looking at the genuine bills, the genuine currency. They master the look of the real thing. And so the best way for you to guard against false teaching is and being led astray is to apply the word to master the real thing. So, A, apply God's word. That's the first in growing ABCs of spiritual discernment. Next is B, beware of false teachers. That is to say, watch out. Be on guard. Be like the believers in Acts chapter 17. They were Bereans. They were from Berea. And they examined the scriptures for themselves to see if what Paul said was true. And they were commended for it. So if they're commended for examining the scriptures for themselves to make sure what Paul said was true, then how much more so should you examine the scripture for yourself to make sure what John Reisner said is true? So please, when you are listening to a teacher, when you are under their teaching, check for yourself. Make sure that what they are saying lines up with the scriptures, the entirety of the scriptures, with what you hear, what the Lord reveals to you from his word. I think it's also appropriate for us to look at the life of the one who is teaching. That's also part of the encouragement we get from 2 Peter chapter 2 is to take a look at their life. Is this a person who's honest? Is this a person who is godly? Is this a person who practices what they preach? Or do they have a message and then they have a lifestyle that does not reflect that? Jesus himself gives us a warning in Matthew chapter 7. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And he says this, by their fruit you will recognize them. False teachers leave people confused. False teachers leave people hurting. They're really trying to gain worldly things like wealth or like status. They will take advantage of other people rather than like Christ, than come to be served but to serve. They will teach what itching ears want to hear. They lack spiritual substance and depth. And really, they go after the big, oftentimes, the big shock, the big wow, the big awe. I had the unfortunate experience in finding that clip that I showed of listening to several bits of that individual. And the braggadociousness about his luxurious lifestyle. And it's going for that shock and awe, that, oh my goodness, wow. Just this weekend, my family played a game. It's called Telestrations. It's the game that is, it's like telephone, but you do it in the form of, it's like Pictionary meets telephone. And so you take turns writing a word or a phrase or an idea, and the next person draws a picture of it, and it goes around the circle in this way. And I think one of the best ones we had was Helen had coconut cream pie. And it ended up with like something like a jungle with a leopard in it, which was a beautifully drawn picture of a jungle with a leopard in it. And I realized I was the one who caused the confusion because I drew it in trying to designate it as a coconut cream pie. I drew like a palm tree, which led to a whole jungle scene. And our family likes this game. Sometimes I think when the same phrase just gets drawn, it's a simple thing and it goes all the way around. Some of our family members think it's just a little bit boring. And so I think at times they start to maybe intentionally embellish it a little bit, because then it's more funny when you get around to the end of the circle and it's something drastically, radically different, and you get that big laugh factor. Well, that's what false prophets do. Their goal isn't to faithfully hold out the gospel in its clarity and power and beauty. Their goal really is, I'm going to twist it, I'm going to distort it, I'm going to make it sound better, I'm going to make it serve me rather than serve the kingdom. And so that's when we get this inaccurate teaching, what Peter says, dangerous teaching. One small caveat. It's not your job to correct every wrong thing you see or hear. We are not the theology police, because especially in today's connected world, there are lots of preachers, lots of pastors, lots of churches and ministries. It's not your job to correct every wrong thing you hear. I would say this, especially when we're talking about secondary issues. We can live and let live. We might say, this is the way we believe, this is the way we practice, and be faithful to what God is calling us to do, while not bothering others who they think differently, they operate differently. That's okay. So please don't brand someone an apostate because they think aliens might exist. Like those are not things we want to major on. Now, it is your job to guard your heart and your mind. It is your job to make sure that you, that your family, that those in your sphere of influence are not being lured into false teaching and adopting its practices and misunderstandings, again, about things like Jesus, who is he? Things about the Word of God, things about salvation. So yes, the B in our ABCs here, apply the word A. B is beware of false teachers. We should indeed make sure you are not being lured in. Your family, your loved ones are not getting a distortion of the gospel. Let's go on to C. Cling to Jesus. Because really, it's in walking with Christ, especially as we talk about growing spiritually. We want to grow in our spiritual discernment. We want to grow in our faith. It is in walking with Jesus, holding fast to him, yes, clinging to him, that we become more like him. And really, the more close we are to Jesus, the closer we are to the Lord Jesus Christ, the easier it will be for us to detect falsehood. Because Jesus says, I am the truth. He is the truth. The closer we are to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more quickly, the more easily we detect things that are not true. In fact, let's jump down. We're still in 2 Peter chapter 2 to verse 19, where it talks about these false teachers who promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. Again, sometimes we look at with discerning eyes the one who is teaching, and we know this, that those who teach will be judged more strictly. Sometimes we look at them and we say, they have this message that says freedom, but when I look at his life, he himself is a slave. He is entrapped and he's a slave to depravity. But when you cling to Jesus, Jesus sets you free. I mean, Jesus says this himself. Remember the scene where he pulls out the scroll from Isaiah 61 and he reads it? Like, Jesus came to bring release from the darkness, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In fact, in John chapter 8, Jesus says this. It's to the Jews who had believed him, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, again, the encouragement here is cling to Christ, hold on to him. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yes, we cling to Jesus. If we want to grow in spiritual discernment, we're applying God's word, we're beware of false teachers, but we are clinging to Christ. And in so doing, he leads us in this path of freedom. And it means freedom for today. It's this abundant life this side of eternity, and it means freedom for all eternity in the presence of Christ in paradise, because we've been forgiven of our sins and redeemed, purchased, bought by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the promise for all who endure to the end. And again, the stakes couldn't be more high when it comes to false teachers who are leading people astray. We cling with feeble fingers to the ledge of God's great grace. Those who endure to the end will receive this beautiful reward, this eternity. And so here's the great encouragement for us. Don't let any smooth talk, promises of worldly blessings derail you from the call that you know. From Matthew 16:24, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Jesus. Stay rooted in the Word of God. Don't fall prey to the lies or the tactics of our enemy, because we know that this is a spiritual battle. Stand strong, know the truth, walk in freedom because of Jesus. Jesus will never lead you astray. He will lead you into the truth. The scripture says, he keeps in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him. What good news that even though we've messed up and done wrong, we've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God, we deserve an eternity apart from him in the flames of hell. In his great mercy, he has rescued us. And for each and every person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. We have this great hope of eternity spent with him in his presence in paradise. So let me just review our ABCs for us again. ABCs of spiritual discernment. A, apply the word of God. B, beware of false teachers. And C, cling to Jesus. I want to close this morning with Ephesians chapter 6. It's a well-known passage about the armor of God. We're encouraged to put on this armor. And you might notice as you look at the pieces of armor that Paul describes here that each part of the armor defends us from attack. It's a helmet, it's a breastplate, it's a shield. There's one part of the armor that's for offensive warfare. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With the word of God, we confront our enemy. We go on the offensive, just as our Lord Jesus did, Matthew chapter 4. We confront his lies. We shut down his tactics. We are the ones who inflict the wounds and the blows to him, our spiritual enemy. We force him to retreat. You'll notice that when you read Matthew chapter 4. That as Jesus engages in spiritual warfare using the word of God, it's Satan who retreats. Let me read these verses over us as we close this morning from Ephesians chapter 6. This great encouragement, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What a great encouragement to stand strong, to stand firm. And we can do that in Christ, who is the victor, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We pray, Lord, for your protection and guidance over our lives, over our families, over our core groups, over our church. Lord, that we would hold to the beauty, the power, the truth, the simple gospel. Lord, we pray that you would protect us. We pray especially for church leaders, that we would be quick to recognize false teaching and heresy and to root it out. So, Lord, thank you for what you've done, that in your great mercy you have seen fit to rescue us from our predicament of sin, that you call us into this beautiful, wonderful life of freedom and hope and light, the kingdom of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you and praise you. We honor you and we love you, and we pray it all in his precious name. Amen.